morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Leah Quadrino, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Mr. James Adeyemi. We would like to reserve 3 minutes of rebuttal time. Your Honors, the District Court's grant of summary judgment in favor of D.C. Public Schools should be reversed because ample evidence is in support of Mr. Adeyemi's claim of employment discrimination under Title I of the ADA. As this Court recently held in Brady versus Office of the Sergeant at Arms, in a Title VII disparate treatment case where the employer has already articulated a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for its hiring decision, the sole remaining question before the Court is whether a reasonable jury, when all the evidence is weighed in favor of the non-moving party, could find that discrimination was the real reason for the adverse employment action. Thus, at this point, the sole remaining question before this Court is whether D.C. Public Schools discriminated against Mr. Adeyemi when it elected not to hire him.
No, that isn't the question. You just made it clear that it is not the question.
I apologize, Your Honor, I misspoke. The sole remaining question is whether a reasonable jury could find that DCPS discriminated against Mr. Adeyemi. Your Honors, there is ample evidence in support of Mr. Adeyemi's claim of discrimination. Perhaps the strongest affirmative evidence is the rankings that DCPS made of Mr. Adeyemi's qualifications itself of his application for the EG-11 software applications.
Was that overall ranking or just his ranking on the interview?
There are two rankings, Your Honor. There was a fourth place ranking overall, and there was a tie for the fifth place interview score. And there were seven vacant positions that summer. Mr. Adeyemi did not receive any of the seven vacant positions. The first five people who were hired in that case were the existing incumbents for the position. They also happen to have the top five highest interview scores. Mr. Adeyemi received the fifth highest score. What is important here is...
Is that the interview score or the overall score?
The interview score was tying for fifth.
And what had his overall score?
Was a rank of fourth place, Your Honor.
Including it was higher than one of the five who were selected?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
You said five were selected.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he ranked four overall.
And was not selected.
So that one of the people who were selected initially actually ranked lower than Adeyemi on the overall score.
They must have, Your Honor, yes.
However, what do you mean must have?
We have not been privy to know what the rankings were overall of the other candidates who were hired. The fourth place ranking is
based... That's what I was a little confused about.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's disputed, isn't it?
The fourth place ranking is in dispute.
I said that's disputed.
It is, Your Honor, but for purposes of summary judgment, right. It must be taken as true. It's based on a conversation between Mr. Adeyemi, a member of the Office of Human Resources, and there are handwritten notes that document that conversation that are part of the record. Your Honors, the chronology here is important. In the summer of 2002, there were seven vacant positions, five incumbents were hired back. And at that point, Mr. Adeyemi, who's ranked fourth overall and tied for the fifth highest interview
score.
Right,
but that's in the pool. They went outside that pool, right, and then hired two people who had interviewed for the level 12 position. So they get people who had interviewed for who had higher qualifications to interview for level 12, which your client did not have the qualifications for, and got them to fill level 11 positions, which seems like from the perspective of the hiring authority, a good deal. Let's get people who interviewed for a higher job and put them into the level 11 job. Why isn't that the end of the case?
Your Honor, because the reason that they elected to go to the EG-12 pool is not the primary difference between EG-12 candidates and EG-11s. The main difference between those two
pools... Well, I thought they wanted to raise the bar.
Your Honor, the chronology is important because prior to going to the EG-12 pool, they first elected to re-advertise the vacant position in search of additional candidates. That didn't prove successful, and at that point, they again had an opportunity to go and hire Mr. Adeyemi and instead elected to turn to the Office of Human Resources and ask special permission to take this unusual step of hiring out of a separate pool. The largest difference between the EG-12 pool...
When you say unusual, what are you referring to? Unusual generally? Because it's not that unusual generally to interview a pool of people and then to say, I want to interview more.
Yes, Your Honor. It's not unusual to re-advertise a position perhaps, but given the time crunch that D.C. has pointed out in its brief that school was about to start, when there was a well-qualified applicant ready and available to be hired, to then re-advertise before offering him the position does appear a little suspicious. And then when that re-advertisement doesn't prove successful, to then take the next step.
I think it would appear more suspicious if ultimately they hired less qualified people, which is what our case law talks about in terms of creating the inference, but here the people ultimately hired were arguably more qualified, right?
No, Your Honor, we would not agree with that. Ms. Wang, for example,
she had the PeopleSoft experience, and then Iqbal had the mainframe and corporate experience, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
One of them performed lower on the interview score.
Your Honor, out of the two people who did fill those last two spots, Mr. Iqbal had also applied for the EG-11 position. He wasn't ranked as highly on his interview score.
It was 29 versus 30.
Exactly, Your Honor, and we've never attested that that was a huge difference.
And the district has never relied solely on the interview scores, right? That's a component, but it's not.
Yes, Your Honor, and given that the district has not relied solely on those interview scores, but has mentioned that other factors were part of this decision, looking at the deposition testimony of Mr. Henry Thompson is also important, because he testified in his deposition that while he found Mr. Adeyemi to be fully qualified for the position, he had grave concerns about hiring a deaf person. Now, if other considerations were important, the testimony of one of DCPS's own representatives about these concerns.
Those weren't his words, were they? Did he say, I have grave concerns about hiring a deaf person?
Your Honor, his words were, I didn't know whether that would be sufficient considering his handicap without some type of accommodation, and I didn't know whether or not D.C. could accommodate that.
That's a lot different than grave concerns.
Yeah, exactly.
I apologize, Your Honor. I probably overstated it.
I would hope all employers would have that sort of concern. That seems to me to be a sensitive approach to something. And what troubles me most about your argument is one reading of the record here is they approach this with a great deal of sensitivity, and now you want to use these arguments showing something malevolent going on here. That's very troubling.
Your Honor, sensitivity and appreciating someone's disability is one thing, but deciding not to hire them because of it is quite another.
No question.
And in this,
but you're using statements that could be read in quite a different light, and I think a more reasonable light as a weapon against them. With your view, that would put employers to an enormous task.
Your Honor, no one here has ever alleged that verbal communications were an essential function of the position, and therefore not hiring Mr. Adeyemi because of any concerns about his disability is inappropriate.
Absolutely. Agreed.
And therefore, given the hiring process that was at stake here and the time frame of its decision.
You wouldn't allow an employer in an interview to ask that type of question, to raise those sorts of concerns? Do we have the capacity to accommodate him? Will we accommodate him? How's the district going to respond to that?
Your Honor, no, that is not our argument, and it's certainly fine to ask those types of questions. The problem here is that
those types of questions to try and say a reasonable juror would find that there's discrimination based on that.
No, Your Honor, we're not, and we have not taken it to that level in our briefing of this. The questions themselves about whether he could work in this environment with a reasonable accommodation are not problematic. The testimony of one of the interviewers who says, I think this man is fully qualified for the job, but I'm not sure we can handle it, followed by an apparent lack of an assessment as to whether verbal communication skills were important, whether they could make a reasonable accommodation, whether one was even necessary. Those conversations don't appear to have ever taken place. There's nothing in the record that shows that they did. Your Honors, I see that I'm encroaching on my rebuttal time. Thank you.
May it please the Court, Mary Connolly for the District of Columbia Government. Mr. Adeyemi points to basically three things that he says require that this case go to a jury. The first is that he received relatively high ratings from his interviewers. The second is that there are purported inconsistencies in the reasons that DCPS gave for hiring Mr. Iqbal and Ms. Wang. And the third is these discussions that DCPS interviewers had regarding whether or not it could accommodate Mr. Adeyemi. None of those.
Well, what about the fact that they went out of their way to first re-interview have new interviews of people, a new pool, and then decided to go to the level 12? That raises some suspicion as well on top of that.
The DCPS adduced evidence as to its non-discriminatory reasons for doing that, and Mr. Adeyemi has not adduced any evidence from which an inference can be drawn that those were not the real reasons and that the real reason was pretextual. First of all, with regard to the ratings, There's undisputed evidence in the record from Mr. Keyes that the interview scores were just one factor in the decision that was made as to who to make job offers to. That the other factors were experience, they were the ranking factors that were submitted by the candidates.
Suppose, and of course the district judge has to consider the facts on summary judgment as most favorably presented by the plaintiff. Suppose he is, in fact, as a matter of fact, ranked number four.
Our position is that whether we assume that he was ranked number four or ranked number five just on his interview scores,
ranked four overall.
Overall.
If that is taken as a fact, that he's ranked four overall, why doesn't it have to go to the jury?
It doesn't have to go to the jury for several reasons. One is that Mr. Adeyemi does not contest the decision to hire the five incumbents. And if we assume that Mr. Adeyemi was ranked number four overall and that the five incumbents were offered jobs, then the fourth or the fifth incumbent that was hired necessarily got a lower score overall than did Mr. Adeyemi. So therefore, it's...
But would it be unreasonable to infer that something else is going on here?
I think that it would be unreasonable to infer
why is
that...
Why is it unreasonable?
Well, what makes it...
We're not arguing what's the best. We're just arguing what's reasonable at this stage.
What would make it unreasonable to infer discrimination based on, if we assume that he was ranked four overall, is Mr. Key's uncontradicted testimony as to his reasons for hiring the five incumbents and his reasons for determining that the remaining individuals, which included Mr. Adeyemi and one of the persons selected, Mr. Iqbal, were not the best persons that he thought that DCPS could hire at the time. And he therefore re-advertised the position in order to balance the five incumbents that he had made the decision to hire with other individuals that had complementary skills. When that was done and there was only one person that had the minimum qualifications for that position and they decided not to hire her, at that point, as Mr. Keyes said, and his testimony is undisputed, he had to fill the remaining two positions. He had a matter of days to fill them or was going to lose the funding for those positions. And at that point, he, as he testified, he had to go with what we had. And that was to go with the, in order to hire the best individuals who had the best match TCPS's need, that was to go to the level 12 pool. And Mr. Adeyemi did not even meet
A minute. Before we go to the level 12 pool, do I understand correctly, maybe I'm confused, that one of the persons in the level 12 pool was also in the 11th, it was in the 11th pool.
That's correct.
And that person, necessarily, if you accept the proposition that the plaintiff was number four, had to be ranked below him for the 11th.
If we accept his proposition that he was ranked number four overall, then that person would have been ranked below him.
So you end up with somebody getting the job who arguably is less qualified than the plaintiff.
Well, as this court has said in numerous cases, in Jackson and in Holcomb and in Barber, the fact that their one candidate is better qualified than the other is not enough to permit an inference of discrimination. The gap in qualifications has to be so wide as to make it inexplicable that the employer would have hired someone other than the plaintiff. And that's indisputably not the case here. In fact, Mr. Adeyemi concedes that there isn't that sort of gap in qualifications. As far as the district's reasons for hiring Ms. Wang and Mr. Iqbal, there is undisputed evidence, and much of it is contemporaneous, that those individuals had particular skills that the DCPS believed it needed at the time, and as it turned out, those individuals were in fact used for the particular reasons that they were hired for.
They didn't advertise for those skills, though, did they?
They didn't.
They didn't say we need somebody with PeopleSoft and corporate experience, right?
That's correct, but the vacancy announcement was very general. It certainly encompassed the specific skills that were at issue. And as this court has held in Jackson, if a vacancy announcement is general and it encompasses the skills at issue, then an inference of discrimination is not permitted based on the fact that the vacancy announcement doesn't specifically list those specific attributes. And as the court has held in Jackson and in other cases, the hiring process is a fluid process and it's a dynamic process. And employers have to be permitted to, during the process, to weigh the factors that they consider more important. And an inference of discrimination cannot be made based upon the employer's determination to hire two individuals for skills and experience that are encompassed in the vacancy announcement. If I could just turn to, there are two more points that the plaintiff argues. One is irregularities in the hiring process, which I think I've already discussed. And then the third is the discussions that DCPS had about whether or not to accommodate Mr. Keyes. First of all, EEOC regulations specifically provide that an employer may ask an interviewee how he would perform a job with or without an accommodation. So no inference of discrimination can be drawn based upon Mr. Thompson's question of Mr. Adeyemi during the interview. And as far as Mr. Farfan's question to Mr. Keyes when they met to discuss the candidates and Mr. Thompson's statement during his deposition, the employer is required to determine whether or not a reasonable accommodation could be made. And Mr. Adeyemi's argument that Mr. Farfan's question and the discussion of whether or not he could be accommodated requires an inference of discrimination would punish employers for doing what they're required to do under the law, which is to determine whether or not a reasonable accommodation could be made. And we don't believe that any inference of discrimination can be permitted based upon those discussions. I see that my time is drawing to a close. If the court has no further questions, we ask the court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd like to focus my rebuttal on the skills that DCPS has focused on as the reasons why it hired Mr. Iqbal and Ms. Wang. It has alleged that Mr. Iqbal was hired for his mainframe skills and Ms. Wang for her PeopleSoft skills. And just now,
and his corporate experience, right?
His corporate experience, yes, Your Honor, but the primary fit was purportedly these mainframe computer skills. However, there is no contemporaneous evidence in the record that either of those skills were being looked for or sought after in qualified candidates at the time they made this employment decision. And importantly,
well, precedents say that you can have general vacancy announcements. It's not uncommon to have a general announcement and then specific skills are picked based on the pool you look at and fit your needs into the workplace.
Yes, Your Honor. However, here the deposition testimony of Mr. Thompson even contradicts this point. He testified during his deposition here during this litigation that he didn't believe that mainframe computer skills were something that DCPS was looking for at the time. Moreover, Mr. Adeyemi wasn't asked about either mainframe or PeopleSoft skills during his interviews. Thank you, Your Honor.
Is there any evidence that he had such skills? Did he put in?
Yes, we did, Your Honor. The affidavit that Mr. Adeyemi attached to the summary judgment briefs outlines his mainframe computer skills. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Case submitted.